welcome to the All Things Overlanding podcast. My name is Fletch, and I'll be your host. Are you ready for some great overlanding content? Then let's get into it. Hey everybody, Fletch from All Things Overlanding here. On today's episode of the podcast slash vlog, I'm really excited because we are going to be talking to Ken Farley, aka Dr. Deathwobble. If you haven't heard of this guy before, I was actually really interested when we first talked because I was like, I've heard of you. You're famous to me. So big, huge name in Jeeps for a while. They're getting into his family owns a shop called Expedition Vehicle Outfitters where they're starting to get into Toyotas and things like that in the last 4 or 5 years. And they do just some amazing custom work, everything from like ground up full builds to like just simple modification stuff and maintenance stuff. So again, really excited to talk to him about that, the shop, some of the cool SEMA builds that they've done in the past. Just everything, right? So it's going to be an awesome interview, so I hope you guys are excited. Before we dive into that, did just want to touch on my featured partners really quick. Of course, Trail Built Off-Road. I've started bringing these guys up recently because they helped me out with my wheels and tires. The process was awesome. Their website's really cool. It allows you to like kind of plug in different options and kind of see what your setup's going to look like and get a good cost on it. Their prices are extremely fair. They've got free shipping, stuff like that. So I got my wheels and tires from them, and they arrived on a pallet with TPMS installed, mounted and balanced. I threw them on the truck in a, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, and I was ready to go. It was awesome. So if you guys click through the link below in the description, it will take you to my setup, actually, the wheels and tires I got. So specifically, if you're like an Xterra person and you want ideas, go check these things out because I love mine. They fit perfect and they look great on the truck. If you do end up buying something from them, there is a spot in checkout that says who sent you. If you can, just click that All Things Overlanding drop down in there just to let them know that I sent you. Next, Overland Addict. Again, fantastic shop for online for everything to do with overlanding. So if you're looking for a rooftop tent to, you know, even last US bag stuff, anything that you could think of for overlanding, they've got it. So definitely go check them out through the link in the description below. And then Last US Bags, as I just mentioned, they are sold by Overland Addict, so you can buy them from them or you can buy them from Last US Bags, however you want to do it. But they have some awesome, like, every kind of overlanding type bag that you could need, from little caddies that you can store bungee cords and food stuff, cooking stuff in, to, you know, trash roo style trash bags. So check them out through that link in the description below as well. And then last but not least, Northology Overland, which we're going to talk about actually, I think, on this interview a little bit because Ken knows Cindy. But again, free overlanding slash off-roading slash outdoor adventure magazine every month, totally digital. So click through that, sign up for that, and get that in your inbox every month. So without further ado, though, let's dive into the interview with Ken.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
So, hey, Ken, welcome to the All Things Overlanding podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's start. So I know that we're here to talk about the shop, right? But when you reached out, I was like, oh my God, he's Dr. Deathwobble. Like, I've heard of you before. You're famous. So how did famous, that sort of come about?
Don't slow down on the famous.
You're famous to me. You're famous to me. So, but how did that kind of come about? Like, where did that start and how'd you come up with that name?
Yeah, so that's been like, that was my Instagram and my social stuff for years before I even started making videos or any of that stuff. That was like, I just came up, my family's had an auto repair shop and a overland upgrade shop for over 20 years. And like, it kind of became one of those, we got known for being really good with Jeeps. Now we build a lot of, you know, Toyotas, Nissans, everything. We build across the board and we do a lot of axle work and suspension work, but we're also known for Jeeps. If you like, they're kind of problem-some and known for having drivability issues. When nobody else can fix it, it got dropped off, we would figure it out. Like, we just don't give up. That's kind of how it is with that aspect. And then it just kind of stumbled off into the whole, yeah, before I ever made any videos or anything like that, it was Dr. Deathwobble on Instagram, just because it was like, that's a cool name. And then I started doing the educational videos to kind of teach you because I can't be everywhere across the country and all this stuff. So it kind of became a library of for even a lot of off-road shops to use. And I will never diagnose your specific vehicle through a video, but I will teach you the principles so you can fix anything. You know, you can fix Land Cruisers, you can fix, it's all the same principles. And then through YouTube and all that stuff, I mean, I've had people email me, we've fixed Jeeps in Israel, Spain, all over the Middle East, all kinds of stuff. I didn't know they had XJs in the Middle East and all this stuff. And then like, yeah, it's crazy to be like that, but it's pretty cool. So once you understand the principles, and that's how our shop works, a lot of it is we do consultations. We teach, you're a grown adult. If you have a driver's license, you're a grown adult. You make your own decisions. We just want to teach you the education behind it, so you're making knowledgeable decisions.
Yeah, that's great. I think XJs are literally everywhere. That was my first four-wheel drive. It's an XJ.
It wasn't my first four-wheel drive, but I've had a couple of them. And like now I grew up, I'm a grown adult, so I don't have an XJ anymore.
I was a much younger man back then, but you know, I had a chip on my shoulder for a long time because all the TJ guys called it the wagon and would not leave me alone. Just beat me up over that thing.
And that becomes one of those that, like, I mean, it's because you couldn't afford a Wrangler. I get it. I know why. None of us really chose to drive an XJ. It's just one of those, I ain't got the money for a Wrangler, and these are half the price. So, like, I'm going to try to convince everybody it was my idea, and that was the best thing. Like, oh, this is, like, superior or whatever. No.
Right.
But yeah, those, I mean, it's just kind of cool, though, because, like, people are using those videos to fix Land Cruisers. They're fixing all that. Just understanding the principles. Because like you say, we're specialists in some of that stuff. And we can't be everywhere. So hopefully, I mean, we have guys at the dealerships, at the Jeep dealerships using the videos to diagnose stuff. So it's pretty nice.
That's great.
It's cool.
Yeah, that's super cool. So you mentioned that, you know, the family business has been around for over 20 years. When would you say, was it like an invisible switch to overlanding modification? Or like how did that sort of happen from repair to outfitting?
Yeah. So it was so gray that you never saw it come through. Yeah. And what happened is, and that's always been our passion. A lot of it for like our area, we're in the center of Michigan. So we're right in the center of Michigan. Our average customer travels 2 to 3 hours to get to us. And it's like, a lot of them are like, we get a lot of guys from out of state, stuff like that. And it was, at first it was always our auto repair. And we never really thought we didn't think there was enough need in the off-road for us to specify to do off-road. And then it was, but I mean, that was always, I grew up in a Jeep. My dad's taking us like running around Jeeps since I was like, I mean, there's pictures of us being like 2 and 3 years old out there bouncing around in CJ5 and all this. Like, I thought everybody did that, you know, until you didn't. Like, my dad puts in like a ton of sketchy situations and all this stuff that you like, you take for granted now.
Great parenting, right?
Yeah, it's great. Now I'm at the shop working at the shop this week, and like I told you, they're in Moab, Utah this week, four wheeling. So it's like that's cool. They got their new Gladiator, they can go do that. But it slowly kind of morphed into, we started doing more and more off-road. It started becoming like well known for, and that's our specialty, where it's like we do a lot of builds. We do a lot of like, hey, you reach out to me and I will from the ground up we'll build you a vehicle, but we do even more so. Hey, I've taken this thing to 5 and 6 different shops. Nobody can fix it. They know we won't give up. We have a process in the place. We will get your vehicle to drive well. And that aspect of it, like, it's great to have a really cool rock crawler. If you can't drive down the highway, it's not that much fun. And it's not fun daily driving a rock crawler type thing. So like, and that became, and the overland side of everything was more of our passion. That is more of like my SEMA builds. If you look at, we've built in the past, like, 4 years, I think it was. We've built 7 SEMA featured vehicles and then magazine rigs and stuff like that. So we do a lot of the sleepless nights and stuff. A lot of those have underlying overland themes to them, because we don't want to, like, I like subtleties. And then you'll see the vehicles and they don't look subtle at all. But if you start looking at all the little close things, like a lot of that stuff morphing in, and it's got to work well. That's our goal, is to build something that works well, because aesthetically it'll be cool. You know, that's easy.
I love that. I love the idea of subtlety in it. I feel like not enough people, like, I feel like too many people get sort of sucked in by the hype online. And then they're like, what do I need to buy? People that tell me these things, and they just buy it. Right. Yeah. Like, it took me a lot of time to, I have a car too. And that one has a lot of subtleties built into it. Like a lot of like caveats back to old cars that I've had before that like had yellow fog lights, for example. Like my truck has yellow fog lights. My car has yellow fog lights. my last car had yellow flag. Like, it's just a thing that like I've carried through. But yep. Even like on the truck, like black and white is a theme, and like thinking about those sort of things. But you know, they're just, I feel like there's just too many people that are just like slapping stuff on, you know, with no thought, I feel like.
Yeah. And a lot of that is, man, it's so tough because I like to see everybody. I want to see you go out and explore. We want to go see you adventure. We want to see you push more. The biggest thing is like getting through the thought process. Like, you got to also understand Instagram isn't real life.
Right.
Like, all this stuff, like we've been going camping in our Jeeps and in our trucks and stuff like that for years, long before we had like, yeah, we sell a lot of rooftop tents. We do a lot of that type of stuff. I want to streamline your stuff now to where like we have stuff in process to, we do like off-grid energy solutions. We do solar power nice. Kits. We do a lot of those complicated stuff, but you don't need that. Like get over, right. like I'm like, go suffer. First thing is just like, you don't need a fridge. Take your cooler out there. It's going to suck. I get it. Like, it's not, but that makes you appreciate everything a little bit more. And not to say, not to say we don't have a really good recipe. Like, you bring me a brand new vehicle, I more than likely we could put that recipe together that we know you're going to be pleased with, but at least I'd rather see you like suffer just a little bit, right. You know, right. Just like you, cause you've been, you understand how that is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying go out there and die of hypothermia or like right. Bury your vehicle in the mud and like you have to walk home, but like sleep inside your truck once.
Yeah.
Like do all that stuff. Cause then you're really going to appreciate how quick your rooftop tent opens or any of that type of stuff.
Yeah, I call that analysis paralysis. Like for the first 6 months that I had my truck, I never even went out. I was just waiting. I was buying stuff. I was watching YouTube videos. I'm like, I can't go until I have this. I can't go until I have that. And now I'm like trying to tell people, don't do that. Just go. Make sure you have shelter, food, you know, that recovery gear, that sort of stuff. But just go out there and you'll learn really quick. Every trip I come back with a list of things that like sucked or I could do better or I need to save space on. And that's how you learn.
You know, and the past year with all these backups on part, like fortunately we stocked a lot of parts and our logistics side of stuff, we pride ourselves in doing as well as, you know, as well as we can. But I also tell somebody, I'm like, hey, if like, we can't like build up your rig for the next 4 or 5 weeks or whatever, and you want to go use it, great. Write a list of what sucked. Write a list because the cool part is like, if you have that list, you know how it is, like fix that list first before we start worrying about anything else. You might figure out you didn't need that King suspension and all that stuff. Yeah, it's sweet. I mean, I'm not going to tell you it's not awesome. It's all like, when we put them together, it'll make you smile. But like, you needed bug spray. You needed like, you know, that's the type of thing.
Comfortable chair, right? Yes,
all that stuff that like, you can have all the Gucci gear you want. If you don't have bug spray and a comfortable chair and like sunscreen or something like that, it's going to be miserable. And that, like, and now maybe if you have a family member or a significant other that like is looking at the X amount that you've been spending and you're like, this was miserable experience.
Yeah.
It's not going to be fun. And it's not sustainable that way. We look for, I want sustainable stuff. We want to build you a vehicle that's sustainable that you can, you know, use as your daily driver, adventure with it, and just keep on using it. And it, like you say, you're not dumping a ton of money into it, but you're still getting a lot of your value back.
Yeah. No, I love that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So you mentioned SEMA builds. I was going to ask you, like, what's your favorite build or what's the most rad build that you've ever done? Like, what's the coolest thing you've done or your favorite thing you've ever built?
Oh man. Yeah, that's tough. That's like, so I'll even go over a little bit. So we've built a lot of Jeeps. I have a 79 Cherokee Chief. It's an orange one with mildew on it and one tons and stuff. That one's my personal rig. 2 years ago. So SEMA was canceled this past year. 2 years ago, we built two Jeep Gladiators. So we built one that was on 1 tons and 40s. And then we built my father one that was on like, we take a brand new vehicle and we literally gut it. Like the one we built it in 3 days and it was like just three street, like sleepless nights. And then we haul it 36 hours to Las Vegas for the show. And that's like miserable. But
yeah,
a cool thing that happened when the two Gladiators we built last year, They were kind of brothers and sisters, or 2 years ago, I'm sorry. They were kind of brothers and sisters, but they had similar interiors. So they had like Dixon Flannel sponsored our interiors, and we had Dixon Flannel inserts in custom leather seats. And Jeep just released their
Easter Jeep
concept. So a year after we did that, the new Easter Jeep Safari concepts have flannel seats in, identically matching the ones that we did. So I was kind of like, oh, I mean, maybe it was your idea. You know what? I still think it's cool. I'm like, if that's like, I'm gonna take credit for it. I'm sorry, guys. I'm taking credit for it, and that's cool. But like, no. And then we've done the Jeep, couple of Jeep Cherokees. We've done Wranglers. I'm trying to think. We've done a truck. Then in coming right now, we're building. I have another one that's like three truck Jeeps welded together. It's a disaster. It's like this weird. It's kind of like. I don't know. We want to, like, when I built my Chief to take there, it was covered in mildew and moss. It's never been washed in 15 years. So we took it there dirty, and it's sitting next to a Lamborghini. And that's like, that's if cool. You look inside, it's mint condition, but the outside looks, you know, rough and stuff like that. And I like those subtleties to where it tells a story, you know, and even like when we, like a lot of our overland builds in the shop and stuff like that, we want to like put little touches in there that tell the family story, that tell how they use it. And just to kind of, because it there is a lot of, like we always say, we'll build you the vehicle, you make the memories. And that's where you can kind of put that together in those vehicles. It's pretty fun that way.
That's cool. Yeah. would you say, so like, I know you've talked a lot about wheeling, right? And you're a Jeep guy. Would you say that you're into overlanding per se, like long distance travel where you enjoy the journey?
Yeah, I mean,
are you more of a camper than wheels?
No, I'm a car camper because I don't think overlanding is actually. No, I was kidding.
I don't know if you can. I mean, I got blown up on one of my YouTube videos earlier by a guy, and I was reading it. I'm like, he's kind of right, but he's like, in the U.S., you really can't overland because you don't interact with any different cultures. Like, it's you're just driving from state to state. You know.
You know, that's why we call it adventure. For us, it's usually just taking the show on the road and having a ball. Like, no matter where we go, it's a part, like, it's a craziness of like, a lot of it comes down to attitude. That's what we always embrace, all of that stuff is attitude. And if you have enough positive people around, like, I love winter camping. Winter camping is my favorite thing. So we'll go up for the weekend and we'll do two or three nights. And we try to go the coldest weekends a year. So we want like negative 15, negative 20, like all the terrible stuff. And that's where we'll usually do, you know, a couple hour trip, camp, couple hours more, camp, and that type of stuff. But I don't even know what any of this stuff. Okay, all the names and all these people getting in fights on social media. Just don't have.
Oh, it never ends.
It is terrible, and I feel horrible for somebody that they're spending that much energy worried about that stuff.
Yeah.
Like right now, we have at least a dozen clients that are out west. Going through the national parks, working from the national parks. We built like off-grid solutions for them in their Tacomas and stuff. And they're out working out there. We're running cell boosters in them and stuff. And it's pretty cool that way to where, do we call that overlanding? Do we call it like being homeless, living out of your four-runner? I don't like
homeless. Yeah.
Like it's just have fun with it. And they get so stressed out over all the other stuff.
Yeah. I feel like I've kind of now looked back on some of my episodes I've done, and I feel like I've reiterated like six. I've had like six episodes that are like, what is overlanding? And it's every time it's like, just go, right? Like, let's not talk about it. Let's just go hang out in the woods and drink beer and sit around a fire.
Because honestly, if you want to like sit there for around the fire and discuss what overlanding is, I'm going to go sit at a different fire because that sounds horrible. I want to talk about like, the views we've seen in Utah and like the fresh air you feel at the Rocky Mountains and stuff like that, like all that stuff that just like makes me tingle, that I love that. That's the crazy cool stuff that like we love versus like the analytics of trying to like all that. Or I'm like,
define everything. Right.
Dude, and I have friends that are great with like, you know, like GPS maps and all that stuff. I'm the dude with like the Atlas Gazetteer that we get lost when you go with me, like, we're getting lost. We're from Michigan. There's water on three sides. As long as we're in Michigan, we're good. We can just keep driving. We're gonna hit water. It'll be all right. Just keep, like don't stress out. But it's like a lot of it is just have fun with it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree 100%. Cool. So you've talked about the Chief. You've talked about new Gladiators. Like, have you had to have a preference? Are you an old truck person, a new truck person? Like, what do you prefer?
So prefer, as far as my taste and everything, I love old stuff. I have a heart for like old stuff. If you came to me and you're like, Jason, you says, hey, I want you to build me that old truck and I'm going to go drive a car. I'm going to say, that's the worst idea you could possibly have. Like, don't do that. Let's build you a new truck that's reliable and you'll enjoy it and stuff. Like mine has a modern drivetrain. I like the old iron where you shut the door and it sounds good, but like, as far as for usefulness, traveling in it, yeah, it's not great. Like, it's not great. Like, I could drive mine. I mean, I've driven it, you know, upwards of trips of 5 to 6 hours or so like that. And it's not bad. Yeah. It's just I'm driving a big rock crawler down the road. It looks really cool, but like.
Yeah.
And then I jump in my new Ram truck. I'd rather be in my Ram truck because that's a lot more comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I, even with my 05, which is now only about 16 years old. I recently, like the Nissan just came out with the new Frontier, the new 2022 Frontier, 9-speed transmission, you know, like, and I'm just kind of like every day I get in my truck, I'm like, I love you truck. But then I'm kind of driving and I'm like, man, it'd be nice to have a brand new truck though. Be so nice. Dude, for that next trip next year to Core, you know, in the Upper Peninsula, 11 hours.
And that's just, you're right, because there's so much more comfy. There's so much everything more about it. And that's where, like, I'll run a, right now, like, after my personal truck is a marketing vehicle that's used for Caterpillar. And then once that's done, then we're going to go to, it'll become an overland build. And when we say overland build, I don't like to even call it that. It'll be my personal adventure truck to where, like, nice. I'll put my mountain bike in the back. We'll have a rooftop tent for the kids and stuff like that. And we just go have fun with it.
That's sweet.
It's so cool. And the Instagram photos are really cool of my old Chief and stuff like that. But when you're when you're driving down the highway, listen to like the LS just screaming, you're like, wah! After like 4 hours of that, it's not that great. Like, not like
the MT's howling. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No air. Like it's comfy to drive. It's actually fun to drive, but like your modern conveniences are a lot better. Like, you jump in my, our shop Gladiator. That's like completely built. My parents are, you know, they'll drive it today, this day right here. They're driving it 14 hours today and then they're gonna keep on, and like it's a joy. It's like you have heated seats and heated steering wheel. Come on, like it's too easy.
Yeah I'm with you. I've always kind of argued that like I like the older vehicles because I, especially if you're on trails all the time, right? If I was a full-time really off the road, I wouldn't feel nearly as bad if I tapped a tree in that as a brand new, you know, $35,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 truck.
Oh yeah.
But like, I mean, let's be honest, right? Like I have a YouTube channel called All Things Overlanding and I try and go as much as I can, but it might be in a 12-month period. I mean, what? I might go once a month, twice a month for an overnighter, you know, like National Forest. Like,
well, and that becomes that whole thing of justifying it to where like, it's just such a two-sided thing, because you'll look at my stuff and you're like, you have 39-inch tires and 1 tons on it, and I'm like, you don't need those. You want 32-inch tires. You don't want that. Like, and that's where it's crazy, because you'll sit it out there and yes, we can climb the crazy rocks and all that stuff. Like, we have some built rigs, but as far as normal use and stuff like that, you don't want that.
No.
You want like we'll build you something really nice on up to 35-inch tires. If it's a G, the biggest thing is the import truck side of everything. A lot of times we want to be up to like 35s or so on a Jeep. If you're not running 37s, they look weird, and it's not like it just looks silly kind of. So like a lot of times we're jumping up to that 35-37 on those. But a lot of it comes down to, if you're driving this thing 16 hours to where you're going, you're not going to run this thing hard. I mean, you might do it once until you snap an axle shaft out in the middle of nowhere. And like, you ain't gonna do that twice. You're gonna be smart next time, you know?
Yeah, that's very true.
And that comes into whether recreational off-roading or overlanding. You know what I mean? Like, like you go to an off-road park, you just break stuff. And that's just kind of what happens. That's the only thing fun to do there is break stuff.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I've had a bunch of really interesting conversations around that, because I think that a lot of overlanders now, like myself included, like I had that Jeep and we wheeled, right? Like we went to the off-road parks and we tried to do the craziest stuff that we could. And then it's been like, you know, 6-7 years since I had that. I've got an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old. And like, it's more about like, let's go to a place that's pretty and nice and away from, you know, reality for a little bit.
Yeah.
And let's just hang out and like enjoy nature and chat. But like an overlander versus an off-roader are two completely different beasts, right? Like, I mean, it's I would avoid that big obstacle if I'm in the middle of nowhere, because I'm afraid, not afraid, but I don't want to break down out there and be stranded, right? Like, that's my goal, is to continue the trip, not to be stopped.
Well, and what did you have to gain by that? That would always become the other aspect of it. And it becomes, so we look for sustainability. One of the things that shot, like when we're talking to a customer, we want to make sure we're building something sustainable. If you are telling me that, like, you're, what becomes not sustainable is going to the off-road park every weekend, because pretty soon I'm like, well, okay, either A, I'm going to break something, B, it's going to cost a lot of money, C, I have to fix it. And then pretty soon I'm like, I don't even want to go out and have fun, because I just created myself more work.
Yeah.
Versus when it's supposed to be relaxing, you know, and that's been the interesting part, to see it come full circle to where now, like, I still like my big rock crawler because it's kind of cool. And I'll go drive it to the beach and we'll go hang out with a rooftop tent open at the beach and like go cook lunch. And we don't always spend the night, but it, at least we always have our stuff. So it makes everything a lot smoother.
Right. Yeah. So you've talked a lot about Jeeps. Would you say you're a brand loyal, but you also have a Ram, right? So like, are you a brand loyalist, or are you kind of open to anything?
I'm open to anything. I grew up with Jeeps and now in the past 5 years or so, we've started building way more import trucks. So we're building tons more, you know, Land Cruisers, Toyotas, 4Runners, Tacomas and stuff like that. We do a lot of axle work in them, suspension work in them, and bumpers and everything like that. I'm not brand loyal at all. Honestly, I'm adventure loyal. That's the way I'll ever say.
Yeah.
If when you see everybody getting these arguments over like this brand or that brand, pretty soon,
you
look around, I won't be standing there, because I just kind of jet over there. We'll go talk about fishing or something fun. To me, it's almost senseless to worry about like who has the quote unquote best. You're just trying to justify what you bought. That's all you're trying to do. And it's like, get over it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're 100% right. That's why I am brand loyal, only because I've always had really good luck with Nissans. But like, I went on a trip, a 2-day trip this last weekend, and there was this beautiful GX470 there. And I was like, I started looking at those online. I'm like, those aren't too bad. Like, I could get into one of those, or, you know, there's.
No, we want to keep that quiet so the price don't go too crazy on those.
I know.
I would say we build quite a few of those. They're kind of the sleeper that nobody really knows about right now. We're building. I'm thinking we have 4 or 5 of them that are coming in this spring that we're putting together of like real nice rigs. Those turn out really nice. A lot of it comes down to just using the whole thought process into how you can build anything really nice. It's just being cognizant of the whole thing versus trying to build something that looks like a, you know, if you're trying to aesthetically build something and we're trying to like show off that we're doing this stuff, it always looks silly, you know, versus building something that works well.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's a lot to learn there too, right? Like, that's why I think it's probably smart for like newer people to start with something that's less expensive and a little older, like not 40 years old, but you know, 5 to 10 years old. Right. And then you just buy it. Cause I look at my Xterra now and I'm pretty pleased with it. And I like it. And I've done the majority of the stuff myself, but like, then like people are like, wow, your truck is really rad. And I'm like, in pictures on Instagram, it is, but like, look at this rust spot back here. And here's this dumb thing where I got too big of tires and I had to trim the fenders and I didn't do a really great job on that. And like, you know, now I'm like, if I got a newer truck, I would probably like trust somebody like you, right? Like taking somebody that knows what they're doing with the bigger stuff. So
like you say, we just have a recipe. We use a recipe and then we kind of know what to expect that way. And it's all communicated. So you know what you're getting into. That's the biggest thing that I've always found is it's super overwhelming when you look at all this stuff online and you just have no idea what it really, where your budget falls into or where the process falls into. And that's where, that's our goal, is to streamline that as much as possible. So you get what you want, but you know what it looks like and what to expect out of it. But you're 100% right though. The other aspect of it is our recommendation is buy something that has a lot of aftermarket support. So like, okay, an Xterra has a lot of good aftermarket support. If you bring me a Ford Escape that you found some eBay lift on it and stuff, and you're trying to like convince yourself this is a good idea. Like I hate to be the guy that upsets you, but I'm like, I won't do that for you. Because I know you're going to be disappointed. I understand that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that becomes the one thing is different. Isn't always great. You know, I get it. Everybody runs 4Runners. They run, you know, Tacomas and Wranglers and stuff like that. There's kind of a reason. It's because because a lot of it comes down to money wise and stuff like that. Like, we can build a lot of custom stuff. It's not in your best interest sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Well, that reminds me of my very first car that I ever had was a 1990 Pontiac Sunbird.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I had that around the time that Fast and Furious came out, and I was yep, like, you know what? I need an exhaust, and yep, I need subwoofers, and I need all, and it's going to be so fast. And no matter how much money I put into that car, it was always a pile of crap.
It was never the Eclipse from the movie, or it was never the Skyline or anything like that. And that's what we're running into a lot of the times with it is, that's just kind of a whole mental thing. It was just kind of understanding like what is always, and you're an adult, you can make your own bad decisions, but
now
at least,
I am, yeah.
Yeah, at least I would say, please do not do this. Okay, cool. I told you now it's your bad decision. You don't make your bad decision. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Pay me as much as you want.
Yeah. I like carnage. Let's see what happens. Like this is going to be a bad idea. But like you say, with a lot of the other recipes and stuff like that, we can put something together with a proper size tire to it. And it's going to be more off-road capable, and it's going to make, you know, it's going to be a lot more enjoyable that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Do you have any sort of, you mentioned the beach and stuff. Do you have any places that like you really, really want to go that you haven't been able to go yet? Like what's your dream trip that maybe you haven't been able to do yet?
See, right now I really want to go like the Pacific Northwest. That's where, cause yeah, I have tons of friends in like Bend and stuff like that. And we're even getting to be where like, the only part sucks is we're in Michigan. So it's a long ways away.
Yeah. You know,
that's a long drive. Usually yearly, we try to go to Colorado and Utah. I have family that lives in Telluride, Colorado. So on the, like the west side of Colorado, we'll go stay there, run the mountain passes. And then we like to go to Moab, Utah, go four wheeling in there and stuff. And a lot, when I say four wheeling, like we run crazy rigs, like I say, but we're enjoying everything. A lot of it is, I like photography. I like yeah, being able to get to the areas that no one can get to. But mm-hmm, the aspect of it is like, if it's the whole ego, I need to climb the biggest boulder. I don't, I just drive around it. And I could, yeah, if I wanted to type thing, but no, it's fun. I like it. So where's your favorite, or where do you look forward to now?
No, the Pacific Northwest to me seems amazing. It's not even really on my radar right now. I mean like dream. Well, so like realistic dream, Ozarks. I want to go to the Ozarks really, mm-hmm, really bad. Mm-hmm. I've got a bunch of friends that through YouTube and stuff that are like a bunch of the Ozark YouTubers for some reason. Yep. I've connected with them, but it looks just amazing. It's, you know, it's challenging enough trails, but not so challenging that you're talking about serious. I mean, you can get some body damage for sure, but
there's a difference between like, I was gonna say there's a difference between like body damage and then like, oh, body damage.
I need a backhoe to come out here and get me now.
Yes.
So yeah, Ozarks is realistic. I mean, someday I would really love to do, I mean, I definitely want to do Utah, but mm-hmm, like Alaska.
Yeah.
I've seen so many people talk about that and take that, you know, take like months to go up and just do like, I would love to do that someday. That would be cool. But that's a whole expedition, right? Like that's.
And that's the hardest part is like, at least with like Utah and stuff like that, you can do it in a week. Like, right, you know what I mean? Like you just jet out there type thing. And like, and you'll have like a sleepless night driving out and stuff like that. But yeah, like, that's where it becomes hard. And we're in Michigan. So like Michigan, we're actually very fortunate. There's like, as far as like off-road trails for like our rigs, there's not a lot other than off-road parks. There's not a lot of like crazy hard stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's so much beautiful stuff to go, just to explore. We go explore the Upper Peninsula. We go to Drummond Island a lot. We go like all around. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the northeast side of Indy, so I'm just a little bit south of you. Yep. But so, yeah, even to get to the Upper Peninsula, it's about 11 hours for me. So like, it's like, I've been there. I've been to West Virginia. I've been down to Kentucky. I've been, Trans-Wisconsin Adventure Trail. I did several years ago when my truck was still pretty much stock, and that, again, nothing challenging. Right. But it was beautiful. And it was, you find a campsite, you know, beside a pond or something. It's just gorgeous. The sun's setting. And it's like, I wouldn't have seen this, right, if I didn't have a capable enough rig to get out here and the desire to do this thing. So
100%. And even more so is, like you say, the desire. The biggest thing is the desire. And okay, like I was talking about, like we have customers that are out living out, like the one, it's a married couple that they're in a 4Runner we built for them. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be gone for 3 months. They're working out of the 4Runner out in the, and I'm like, that sounds so cool, but you don't have kids. So like, yeah, I get it. You can go do that stuff. But like, they're not off-roading this thing. Like it's very minimal off-roading, but we needed it off-road capable because, I mean, they hit a snowstorm already. They hit, we need it off-road capable so they can get through that stuff. But it doesn't, like, they're not going to go climbing the crazy boulders and stuff like that. The fortunate part is with our background, we know enough that, like, we feel comfortable building you something that is very reliable and capable of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let me ask you this. Overlander or not, right? Doesn't matter. What's your favorite piece of gear? Like, what's the most important thing that you never leave home without? I'm a gear guy, so that's why I have to ask.
Yep. And that's where, oh man. I mean, I hate to be like I can't say that. I'm sorry. I was going to say, dude, my kids love the Scottle. And like, I think it's silly, but like, I love the Scottle. And the best one though, is we have one of the ready lights. Are you familiar with those? It's like a tripod ready light.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it has four lights there magnetically hooked to it. And then one center big light. I have three kids. My two kids, my two kids have their names on each light. That's cool. Your light. At the end of the day, bring your light back and put your light back. Like it just gives them a sense of purpose. They got their own light and stuff. And those work out really nice. But like say, most of our rigs are built, like all of our personal rigs are built very similar. So like we can kind of, we have an overland trailer. We have between me, my parents, and then our employees, we share everything. And it works out really well that way.
Yeah. It's kind of almost like Expedition Overlander-ish where like, right? Each truck, one truck has camera gear, one truck has food, one truck has, you know, and everybody shares it.
Yeah, ours is just like, it's just not quite as ornate, I guess I would say.
Yeah, right? there's a little, that's what I told my wife. I said, if there's ever a day where I have to be like, these two vehicles of our six are the camera trucks, like, that'll be a different time.
I'd appreciate having that problem, maybe someday, but like, yeah, that's where, and it gets to be a point now we're doing even less content when we're going out off-road and we're just enjoying it. You know what I mean? Just enjoying like the fresh air out there. And even when we go out west for like off-roading in Moab, we go to the national parks and stuff. What we usually do though is the first couple days we'll go out, take a lot of photos for the family and stuff like that. And then after that, we don't really, because there's no pressure at that point. We just like take a bunch of pictures because I love to have those fake pictures to look back on, but like, I don't want it's my whole, much. Yeah. You don't want your whole day to be like, I need to get a drone video of this canyon. Like you're going to be miserable that day. You just need to just relax and have some fun.
Yeah, no, totally agree. I know. So I wanted to give you some time to talk about EVO a little bit, just because like, I just want to hear about it in general, but I didn't have like any specific questions around it, but like, do you just want to tell us more about it and like educate the audience kind of on what it is? Cause I know a lot of my folks are Midwestern. So, you know, there's nothing that says I couldn't come up to you guys. Cause I'm going to break something at some point. Like I have a power steering leak right now that my winch created because for the last year it's been rubbing against the high pressure line and it's finally started to drip. But I think I can solve that on my, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably mess it up and have to trailer it to you. But
I was going to say, like, if it's just starting to leak, you got plenty of time. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it's slow. I've got fluid in my truck.
Yeah, I would say that seems like something good to fix on the side of the road. You'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so Expedition Vehicle Outfitters is, our family's had an auto repair shop for over 20 years. And Expedition came out of necessity type thing. Because it was, our normal shop, Ken's, is known for a lot of Jeep work. And we started to see a lot of our clients switching over to where our names kind of spread out in the whole Overland community, the Toyota truck, the Nissan communities, that like we do a lot of axle work, we do a lot of suspension work, and we just try very hard. That's our biggest thing, is at the end of the day we try very hard. And that kind of became, that's where EVO grew, where Ken's was a hub for Jeeps. Everybody knows Jeeps is kind of like that. And EVO and Expedition Vehicle Outfitter became the hub for their import trucks, our Toyota trucks, and now it's even come into where we've been doing like, you know, our Lexuses and all that stuff. It gives them their own hub. And it's just been a really fun process to see that grow into what it's taking shape as. And it's been fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Do you have anything else that you wanted to touch on?
Just that, like our trips that we got coming up this year. We're super excited for the fall. We're going to Core. And
nice, I'll be there.
You're wearing the Core shirt. I was going to say that.
Yeah, you saw it. All right.
Yeah,
Cindy.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I, you should probably follow Expedition Vehicle Outfitter, sign up for the newsletter because we're going to be giving away a ticket to Core because they're all sold out.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. Second day, whatever.
Yeah. And that was one of those that like, you got to move quick. You got to move quick. And I know we're bringing three rigs up this year. So I'm trying to decide if I'll bring my chief up or if I'll bring, we don't really know, but we're bringing, I know. I should. And I probably will. It's one of those, we're going to bring our mountain bikes up and our whole family's coming up and we just want to come hang out. And if you're at Core, stop by the fire, come hang out, grab a beer. It'll be fun that way.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, it'll be great to meet you in person. That'll be fun.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. We'll be there. And we got cold beer around the fire, so we're good to go.
That's 90% of the reason why I hang out with Jeremiah from Overland Pioneers is because he has a beer sponsor. And yeah, so he comes with a full thing of beer. And I'm like, how do I get a beer sponsor? I don't know.
Man, haven't figured it out. I mean, we got to start making some proposals, I guess. And maybe a mixtape. Nobody does mixtapes anymore. You should really consider doing a mixtape.
That's a good idea. I like it.
I don't know. I mean, if I was a beer company, I'd sponsor you if you showed up with a mixtape, maybe, or a burnt CD or something like that.
Ooh, I've got a CD burner laying around somewhere, I think.
Dude, there you go. There you go.
My kids don't know what CDs are, but you know.
All Things Overland and brought to you by Busch Light. Now, you want a higher end, but you don't want Busch Light.
I'm an IPA guy, so yeah, I need something bougie, you know.
Bougie, yeah. That's what you drink Shiner, though. Shiner out of Texas?
Yeah, Shiner Rock's fine. I like Shiner.
Dude, there you go. There you go. We have the Texas. Yeah. There you go.
I mean, here's the thing is, I like IPAs, but, like, I grew up in college on Keystone Light and Natty Ice and all that. Yeah. So, like, I literally, when I go to, like, someone's house and they're like, I've got six different beers. What do you want? I'm like, what do you not want? Like, you just give me whatever you want to get rid of and I'll drink it. It's fine. I feel bad drinking your beer.
Yeah, I understand how that is. Where it's one of those, like, I have friends that'll drink like a 30 pack of Busch and I'm like, man, I'm good. Yeah, Shiner. I'll take a Shiner. There we go. We'll bring Shiner up to core. That'll be what we do.
There you go. Awesome. Well, hey, Ken, I appreciate you being on the show. It was a lot of fun talking to you. And guys, if you're listening, look in the description below. There will be links to, you know, Expedition Vehicle Outfitters and everything else. So definitely go check him out there. So thanks for being on the show.
All right. Thank you.
All right, guys. So that was Ken, aka Dr. Deathwobble, talking about Expedition Vehicle Outfitters. Tons of fun, man. I mean, I'm putting up the interview part of this, but we talked for a couple hours the night that I did this. And it was so much fun. So huge thanks to Ken for, you know, all the knowledge he dropped on me. I learned a lot of stuff. I had a great time talking to him and I look forward to seeing him at CORE. He's actually going to be at the CORE event this September. So I'm super excited to meet him in person there. Of course, in the description below, I'll have links to Expedition Vehicle Outfitters, you know, all their social channels, that sort of stuff. Definitely go check them out because they're doing some cool builds and they're in Michigan. So if you're kind of in my area, Midwestern area, this would be a great shop to hit up for any work that you need done, whether it's maintenance to like wild, crazy builds. So it actually kind of got my gears turning where I'm like, you know what? He's not that far away. If I buy some sort of new truck that I could take up there for a week and drop off, I'd love to just let them do the work and not have to do it all myself. So anyways, definitely check them out through the links in the description below. Also, if you don't already, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Again, there'll be links in the description to that stuff as well. I'd love it if you'd come over and join the conversation in those other channels as well, whichever ones you like, right? Don't feel obligated, but if there's one that you're on all the time and you want to chat over there, I'd love to have you join. So come hang out. But other than that, thanks for listening. Again, I hope that was entertaining and fun for you guys, as it was for me. But we'll just look forward to seeing you guys next week. Take care.